right, welcome back once again to the 343 Sparkcast. This is November. It's probably coming out November 2nd or 3rd, or maybe not. We'll see. I, of course, am David Ellis, your host, and alongside me today is Frank O'Connor.
Whoop!
Dan Ayoub, executive producer.
Bonjour.
And
that's horrible.
And of course, rounding things out is Dennis Reese, who's producer on Halo Anniversary.
Hello.
Hello.
Simple hello.
Yeah. Oh, with that voice again.
Classic, yeah. Elegant.
Hello. Yep.
He's got his velvet voice on.
He's the Aston Martin of saying hello.
Those break down a lot, though, I heard.
Oh, no, that's me. I'm the Fiat saying hello, yeah.
Does that mean J-Lo's driving you?
Fix it again, Tony.
But we wanted to get everyone together. Of course, it's November. We're just a couple of weeks. In fact, when we're recording this, we're actually 2 weeks away from the launch of Halo Anniversary, which, of course, is coming out on November 15th. 10 years to the day of the launch of the original Xbox, and of course, Halo Combat Evolved. And we've recently had some cool things going on in the studio for the game. We just went gold.
Explain to people what that means, because we get there's a few, there are definitely a few sort of misinterpretations of gold. There's not only without the industry, but within the industry.
There's even some confusion internally at the studio as well. I mean, you have multiple terms.
So, Dennis, what does going gold mean?
It means a special time in a person's life. What time are you talking? Oh, the game.
Yeah.
It's
all flashes.
We've released to manufacturing.
Yes.
And so the disc is finalized. It's being printed. It will be in stores shortly.
It comes from the expression gold master, where literally a vinyl album would be pressed in gold and then used as the master for printing onto vinyl. But we don't really do that anymore.
Well, except CDs, this time,
digital.
Well, we're doing it this time.
We did sort of do that.
Yeah,
this
it's
time.
Exciting.
Yeah.
It's
Oh, well, because of the album.
Yeah,
the
album.
Actual
yeah,
vinyl
absolutely.
Album. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that we're making a gold disc? I doubt it.
That would be a really nice
that
collectible.
Would be awesome.
Yeah, the gold version of the Marty
music. So if you're listening and confused, then you haven't been paying attention. We're actually releasing a, I guess, limited edition run of the Halo Anniversary soundtrack on vinyl. And it's green vinyl.
It's green vinyl, which went gold.
I'm helping.
But it's got some custom artwork that was done by Eddie Smith,
Eddie Smith,
who worked on Halo Anniversary.
Halo.
And worked on Halo 2 as well.
Yeah.
You know, the discs are out there. They're not out there, hopefully, but some of them have
sure.
You know, the cool thing, audio fans, is because it's on vinyl, you'll be able to use words like warm and rich and tonal, apparently the clean, sterile digital bits just sound like torture for your ears.
Oh, yeah.
But only if you have your $8,000 tube amp.
God.
Vinyl does sound better. Hipsters.
Is there anything worse than an audio file?
Does it then, really? Or are you just really, really? Dan is sporting a salt and pepper beard as he says this. And he's scratching it. He's like, oh, yes, the warmth of the vinyl really comes through my valve amp.
I find the emotion of the music comes through clearer on vinyl.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess aside as well, I mean, we kicked off Game Trailers is doing a multi-part retrospective, which actually the first part hit today.
It was pretty cool.
I
just watched it.
I love those things.
Yeah, they always do good retrospectives. It's funny to see our own stuff in it. It's
cool. Yeah, so they're doing like top-down entirety of the Halo franchise from beginning to end. Or, not in, because it's not in. It's going to keep continuing.
They just have to
beginning
keep making
till now.
Retrospectives forever.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's just a spective at that point.
It's just a spective.
We're also doing several things. We just launched, of course, a campaign launch trailer. Went out there as well. And they're also doing something kind of cool. It's like a fan of the decade thing, where you can log into, I think it's halo.gametrailers.com. You can submit your name and a photograph. And we're going to be doing some cool stuff online and on, I think, TV as well with that. I don't know if we've talked about completely what that is.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool prizes.
So you'll be able to win like a, I don't know, it's a really nice.
Like you're in the commercial?
A really nice what? What do you win?
I think it's TV, sound system, all the games.
What? I need
stuff.
A TV and a sound system.
No, you don't. You have a really,
you need
really
something
nice
to play the vinyl
on. I want that
on.
TV that's right behind you, actually. That thing is, he's sitting in front of some like 60-inch sharp Quatron.
Yeah, I should just start be playing like web videos in the background so you can't concentrate on what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, staring into your face is like staring into the sun, David. I can't concentrate on anything.
I am a warming presence.
Yeah, definitely.
And apparently you smell pungent.
Yeah, you smell of
pungent.
Vinyl and failure.
It's a good thing.
So one of the things is we've been traveling around kind of supporting Halo Anniversary. Dennis and I just went to Europe on a press tour.
It was a fun trip.
You make it sound like we're traveling around the country fixing people's Halo installations.
What right. did I say?
You said supporting it. Like you knock on your
in
door like
your
Maytag
of?
Man. And yeah, you're like, well, we wear you've uniform. Got some Halo
That's pretty much
basement.
How I've pictured yeah. it up to this point.
Yeah. What we did.
Well, sometimes we would show up and we'd have to make sure all the TVs are set up correctly.
Yeah, that was actually
somewhere
a
between Harold
yeah.
and Kumar and Eurotrip. That's kind
the only thing that is not set up worse than a TV is a podcast studio. Like if you get to any number of TVs, this is just a fact of nature. It's like how cables angle themselves up. The TVs are set wrong, and the podcast studio has been dismantled and set up wrong. This is the fastest we've ever set up a podcast.
By know, fastest, which, by
is way, crazy. It was almost setting. Instant.
Maybe
I'm
7 minutes?
Instant.
Not almost. It was instant.
Yeah.
We were going right but away.
You,
we said to
were you setting up before we came in?
I set it up yesterday when we were originally
right.
supposed
okay.
to record.
Oh, there it is.
And there's
everyone waiting for
so
a
actually,
Madonna.
Technically, it took 24 hours to get it set up.
No, because it was ready yesterday.
But we weren't. We were part of the podcast.
Three of us were.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends
did
how we
did a podcast at G4, and they're like, no, we're just going to roll in there, and it'll be set up, ready to go. And I said, guys, it will not be ready, set up, ready to go, because it's a podcast studio.
No, so but they have a radio there. Studio.
Oh, like, but guess what?
Not set up?
Not set up.
Didn't
all
we do
bark,
a podcast with,
and,
with yeah. like Aisha Tyler and
we did. She never or, used it. She never
she
used
never
that.
Used
she does
was that iPhone,
that was
at right?
Did
she
yeah,
just
she
literally
did,
put her iPhone.
She did
down?
An iPhone recording.
Yeah,
at,
it was E3.
At E3 in actually in our meeting room. So I imagine it sounded terrible. It probably was full of golden content. And she really wants to use it, and all
yeah,
she does
I'm
is think
sure
about
she,
us.
I think it's so good. She just
probably,
keeps it for
yeah,
herself.
I'm certain
she probably
that's
just
what
listens
she's doing.
To it before she goes to sleep. At
yeah.
Night.
Or yeah. Dulcet tones. I think that's likely case.
Soothing voices. Anyway, sense. Yeah, she does a podcast called Girl on Guy or Guy on Girl or something like that, and it's we're not on it. But Cliffy B is, so this is nonsense.
Yeah, no, that's a little
yeah.
You know what? I think it's time that we let Aisha.
Aisha
know.
Can come here and record
yeah,
a podcast.
That's true.
You know what?
We'll make a special chair for her. We'll
she's
get her lunch. I'll get her Jimmy John's with peppers.
We'll
I don't
make
even
sure
care.
The
I'll
podcast room is set up ahead of time. It only takes 7 minutes now.
Yeah, it yeah. takes no time yeah. at all. Well, then I have to break it back down because people complain when I just leave yeah. it on the conference.
So if
table.
There's any Aisha Tyler stalkers out there who have a relationship with her that is, you know,
I'm pretty sure we
composed
have her email
of cutouts
address.
Of bits of newspaper, then by all means tell her that she's invited.
Yeah, with newspaper
why,
clippings.
Why yeah. limit it to Aisha Tyler? Let's extend it
well,
out to Jessica.
I knew that was coming.
Let's extend yeah. it out.
Dude,
we got to cover all the demographics. We can get Nathan Fillion in here.
Yeah. Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, I said
Screech. One of these things is not like the other.
I said
I'd like to have Nathan Fillion in here, but you're just yeah.
The Halo community is diverse with lots of tastes.
Dennis, the stalking
yeah,
laws exist for
yeah.
a reason.
Yeah. At this point, LCA asked us to re-record the rest of the segment under legal advice.
Maybe we should just start over.
This is Microsoft
anyway,
legal.
So
we don't know how
we invite everyone
tangent.
To come on our podcast, tall and short.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you can talk. Sorry if you can't.
Yeah, as long as you can speak authoritatively about cool stuff that's funny or has to do.
I don't think
Halo.
You have to be an authoritative, especially if you made
right.
it this 10 minutes yeah. into this episode.
Yeah.
But so going back to the European adventure right. that Dennis and I went on,
yes.
wanted to share that. Yes. That it was my first time going on like a press tour, and I was just
mine too. It was fun though. It was an interesting experience.
You guys are well traveled, right? You've been to Europe
yeah.
a bunch,
yeah,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Although so you're not like that American that goes and says, "Why is the ketchup all weird?" Because well,
no, actually,
no, Dennis,
exactly
I'm kind
guy.
Of that guy.
Dennis is that guy intentionally.
Yeah. Okay. In a lot of ways, it just makes sure that the foreigners don't bother me when I'm traveling
foreigners.
Their land.
Yeah.
You know who the foreigners are in these situations. You know,
is this a good time to share your shoe story, Dennis?
No, good time to share my shoe story.
The first stop on this actually ties in a little bit. The first day we were in London, we were doing an event there, and Dennis kept doing this thing where he'd go into his version of a British accent.
Is it like Dick Van Dyke?
I was giving him positive reinforcement. I was like, you know what British people love? They love it when Americans do
okay, let's hear it.
I practice it.
I want to know if it's as good as your French accent.
Quite frequently with our PR guy, who fortunately had an English
British.
Accent.
Unfortunately, had an English accent.
Can't be helped.
I don't know that he was offended by it.
After you threw his tea in the harbor. Was, yeah.
Hello, it's me. I'm here to play Halo with you.
Oh my god!
Wow,
sounds like a Fable character.
Wow. Is that not
actually, it sounds like a Fable character.
It sounds like Bob Odenkirk. It's just not in a good way. Not in a talented comedian.
So that's
way.
How I actually gave all the demos.
Yeah, you can find them online.
They're everywhere. Yeah, go.
You know, I was trying to figure out the correlation of our pre-order drop in the UK. and now it's all starting to make sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
We did, was it 4 countries in 5 days, something like that?
Yeah, so what? London to Spain.
London's not a country.
England.
United Kingdom to Spain.
UK to Spain.
Italy. Then France.
Nice.
Yeah. That's because that technically would be some good eating if you weren't on a whistle-stop tour, in which case you probably ate in the hotel most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, we were in Paris for 3 days.
Oh,
yeah.
Three,
the first night.
Yeah, you're right.
So this was my first time doing anything like this, and it was a pretty crazy schedule because, like you were saying, you don't spend enough time in the country. You basically see
a day every country. It's
you basically see the airport, you see the room where you're actually giving demos, and then you see the airport again on the way back out.
So, but what kind of fans were you meeting? I mean, obviously, some of it was press, right, and community.
Yeah,
is that the mix? So,
We
have different types of fans in different countries. I think the UK guys are a lot like the American guys, and they're pretty disparate, and some of them like multiplayer, some of them like story, blah, blah, blah. France, I often just think of Halo.fr because of
those guys were there. The Halo Destiny guys were there as well.
Who did you guys meet in Italy?
Italy, I don't remember the outlets per se, but one thing that shocked me about Italy is they were really, really hardcore multiplayer.
Oh, dude, there was one guy in particular. That guy was hardcore. He was very good.
Had
great knowledge of all the multiplayer maps. Yeah, I was really impressed with just how knowledgeable all the fans were.
Everyone is set up differently. We were actually doing kind of a top down the whole game. We started out letting people get hands on with the campaign, play through the first couple of levels, and then doing multiplayer and doing some firefight as well. And of course, every different setup is a little different. You don't know that multiplayer doesn't always work in every situation. So for Italy in particular, we weren't sure that it would work because it was set up in
living room, separate living room stations.
They have this,
and they're all kind of, they weren't really.
Well, it's because Italians like to live at home as long as possible. They're probably somebody's mom's house.
Well, they're launching Kinect alongside
now watching our Italian pre-order numbers
in Spain and Italy. And so stuff was actually set up for Kinect demos first off, and so we had to kind of reset everything for like a Halo environment. But we were able to get everything connected up, and actually people ended up playing more multiplayer than anything.
Yeah.
And that's not what we were expecting at all.
I mean, I wasn't expecting also. Everything there was cardboard.
Yes.
Cardboard chairs.
So this like eco design setup.
It was incredible. Cardboard tables.
How do you make a chair out of cardboard?
Hey, I asked the same
a
question.
A lot of cardboard.
No, apparently
corrugated.
It was actually very, very strong
yeah,
cardboard.
Corrugated.
And I'm sure the place would have just gone up. A simple match would have probably burned the whole place down.
But yeah, that was the only place that we did. They had like a whole stage set up. So we actually, other than, of course, Paris Games Week, we did like a on-stage demo.
Yeah, it was
that.
Nice. Probably like 40.
What kind of Kinect demo were you doing in the Kinect? Or were you?
No, it was set up for Kinect before. They actually call it the Kinect Xbox space, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was it's kind of like a separate area, and it was, you can tell it was really geared toward demoing some of the Kinect.
I had a joint Kinect Logic lifestyle futurism failure at the weekend where, and this is a true story, so I'm on the beta for the new dashboard.
Oh yeah, same here.
And just about everything is voice controlled on the new dashboard, and I've been like just using it for media and fighting with my 3-year-old daughter who now knows how to stop or pause videos right. and now she realized how to Bing stuff, which is, so now she's like Xbox Bing Dora the Explorer.
Boy.
So sometimes I get it. Anyway, I'm in the kitchen and I had the timer set in the microwave and I said microwave clear, and the microwave ignored me. But yeah, I just like, that's, I realize that's going to be our future. You're going to be walking around your house giving barking orders at appliances.
We've been having some fun with that in the office lately. Dennis has been mucking around with some of the Kinect stuff, so we'll just lean on the office doors and just start yelling stuff.
Yeah,
well,
which is awesome. By
you
way.
Had a weird problem. This is probably like our
Frank, not now.
Exposing
not
our underwear those. A little bit, but Dennis had a problem this week with.
Yeah, but the blue pill sorted it all.
Well, the plan for review for Kinect. So we added Kinect in fairly last minute, like it was we were just trying to think of cool things to add, and so Kinect went in really late, so it's not actually in the code that was on the gold disc, so it'll be a day one title update. It's
right,
going to include some of the Kinect functionality, so we now the reviewers might not get it in time, right? So
we're working on it.
Well, we'll be able to show them it. It's just like
we'll be able to show it, but if it may not be available like the first day they get the review copy, yeah. It could be a couple days
after. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things about the how crazy compressed the schedule for anniversary was and how the publishing team didn't want to stop adding things. They just keep adding things. Is there anything else you
best
guys are going to put in there?
Oh, we got a few more aces up our sleeve.
You added another Easter egg, right?
Yes, we did.
There's a fairly substantial Easter egg that has a Waypoint connection, am I right?
Yeah, you should just watch.
Yeah.
I think.
Go to Waypoint.
Yeah, but that's a big thing. Snooper, that's not like a little thing.
No, it's a really cool thing. I think people are really going to like it. Yeah. It's a really slick idea. We're not going to say
should
what it
is. Should they install Waypoint on their Windows Phone 7 device?
They absolutely should. They should install Waypoint on anything you can.
Exactly. Anything you can.
Yes. Iron it onto your T-shirt.
Tattoo, maybe. Might be good.
All right.
There could be a...
I don't know if you can get an LCD all the way into your chest cavity, but...
But I took a debug to LA last week. I can... G4?
Yeah.
Is it
G4?
Yeah.
So I got the thing home, and I just wanted to make sure that I had loads of game saves open so that I didn't have to, like, start the beginning of each level or, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I started playing through, and I just needed to unlock the first 30 levels, and then I just kept playing. I kept playing it like it was a demo. I kept switching and hitting the classic mode, and yeah, it was the first time it's all been 100% together, smooth.
That's actually one of the things that Dennis would give me crap sometimes when we were doing demos, because sometimes I just switch too much. Because even when I'm just playing, I still
like, David, quit switching so much. God sakes.
Yeah.
When we were doing a lot of them with the retailers, we made the mistake. It was like, we're like, hey, let's try something new on this demo. So we threw out the old. You guys yell switch whenever you want, which pretty much defeats any presentation. Someone is always yelling switch every 4 seconds.
Because it's near instant, but there is a pause. There's a logical pause so you don't get killed, for example, but there's also a little pause while it loads up the new graphics.
Yeah.
But it's like, I found that cliff edges cause switching. You go to a cliff edge, switch.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially TNR, which was Truth and Reconciliation, was the level we were demoing the most. There was also an event. And in San Francisco, I think a lot of people have seen footage off of that at this point. But in fact, we had the setup with all the skulls available and everything. So actually, we decided our last day, I think it was our second to last demo
in
Paris Games Week. We decided these were actually just fans because there was a kind of behind closed doors demo. And we decided we were going to run Legendary with all the skulls on.
Oh, man.
Which I hadn't done before anniversary.
It's a ton of fun. So.
It's weird because it makes it way more difficult than normal, but there's also some things that make it easier and more random, which is, so, you know, when you're stuck in a loop on Legendary, random is one of the things you really want to happen. Right?
And we decided to set this up as, I had never played it this way before, so I knew I was going to die and probably die a lot. And so then we would basically just bring someone out of the audience to actually play for a few minutes. And actually, that could have gone
pretty cool.
Could have gone very, very poorly.
That would be good if you had an audience in your life and there was, I can't get a jar open. Someone from the audience. Yeah, come over the audience. Jar. Let's see. Yeah.
Well, you know, some games do that. Just basically let the game play it for you until you
Dark
get past
Souls?
That. No.
Someone from the audience sneak into my game while I'm not watching and mess it up. Right?
It's awesome.
It's not awesome. You guys are, you're masochists.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a portion of that, but it was actually cool. We actually were able to play that, but every time we were going switching, we were switching languages as well.
Oh.
And so I hadn't seen a lot of the skull names in the other languages, and I decided Grunt Birthday Party in English, which is it's good. Everyone likes it, but the French version is a Grognard Surprise. Might be my favorite skull name ever.
I can't read. It was very
how
good.
How would you pronounce that? Grognard Surprise.
Grognard Surprise.
I'm not going to attempt to do that because I wouldn't do it correctly.
Yeah, some of the voices were actually really good too.
Well, and what's interesting, people who remember, and actually in Spain they pointed this out, there was some localization issues between Halo 1 and 2. Halo 1 used Spain's Spanish, and Halo 2 they used Mexican Spanish. And so that was actually a question that we got a lot when we were in Madrid.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, it's a thing, and also the same thing applies to Portuguese and Brazilian Portuguese.
Mm.
And the simple fact of the matter is that most of the big television, movie, and so on production places are in Mexico, right? There's more Mexican media and acting made than Spanish, right? And that's I can definitely tell a little bit the difference between Mexican and whatever, Iberian, Spanish, and so on. But with Portuguese and Brazil is so much larger a market than Portugal. That's why, and it's I don't want to say it's unfortunate because we get good performances and good stuff out of those markets, but it's like, it just seems a little counterintuitive that you would go to the, you know, the countries that came after it,
right,
to get the stuff. But it's just the reality of the market.
So. Right. Has anyone told you you're just like an encyclopedia of information?
Just about those two things.
Really?
Yeah. At this point, I'm at a dead loss to talk about anything else. But
well, hopefully that's out. Not the
Drop
case.
The
We've
mic,
got another 20 minutes to go on this episode.
But yeah, it's we get some good actors out of both regions, and sometimes we mix it up. We'll have real Spanish actors and Mexican actors, and of course other Spanish speakers.
So actually, I was wondering about this.
I was very impressed, actually.
And I actually forgot to ask you about it while we were over there. So for the terminals, we brought back some of the older actors, of course, Tim Dadabo in the U.S. at D343 Guilty Spark. Did we get the exact same actors for all the localized?
We did in some cases, yes. Yeah. In some cases we did, but we can't always. Sometimes there's contractual issues. And
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't as easy as we'd hoped. But yeah, we tried to where we could,
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. It was funny because when we were – this is actually the first time I had seen a lot of people outside the studio get hands-on with the campaign. And it was fun just watching the different play styles. You had some people that were playing co-op, which was fun because, of course, one person can be in classic mode. One person can be in the new graphics mode. Right. And a lot of people did that because, of course, when you're watching the cutscenes, there are some differences in the cutscenes between the two. And some people were playing it that way, which was fun. Yeah. But it was also fun just kind of putting a challenge out there. It's like, good luck finding any skulls while you're playing. And I think pretty much the entire trip, there's only two people that found any of the skulls. And that was a couple of people found the skull on the second level, Halo.
Yeah, that's of the two, that was probably the easier one to find.
Yeah. I mean, deliberately so as well. We had that conversation.
Absolutely.
But even Shishka's a dink, man. He was a real shark.
You know what he didn't do, though? You know, I only asked for one thing, and it's not even the sharks with lasers. I asked for one thing in this entire game. Like, as please, can I have a rocket launcher behind the waterfall?
No, you can't have a rocket launcher behind the waterfall.
I remember walking in.
It doesn't make any sense. It does make sense. The Bumblebee just crashed. A rocket launcher could easily have flipped from there over to the waterfall. I had all the logic set. Like, who knows what was falling out of the POA? Like, stuff just falling out. But no rocket launcher behind the waterfall.
No rocket launcher.
But there should be, right?
Well, it's what we were talking about. Pretty much any time you come across a waterfall, there should be a hidden
rocket
tree
launcher,
behind it.
Treasure.
I just think so.
Treasure. Just a treasure chest full of gold for no reason at all.
Yeah. That you can't open.
It's just there.
10 years from now.
With a box of battle
if
rifles.
If I'm the producer
chickens.
On the title, I'll tell you what, Frank. I am going to put
the 20th anniversary.
I know you would.
20th anniversary.
Oh, I know you would. No problem at all. It's just Shishka.
Shishka. If he's around, there's no way, though. Yeah.
I look forward to the 20th anniversary vision and 3D hypervision.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, they did just announce a new HD standard.
Really?
Like a ridiculously giant.
Oh, is it?
I think
like
it's
ultra
like 10 times higher.
4K. Oh, my God.
HD, yeah. It's but HD, the actual HD standard was sort of codified in the 70s. There were HD TV, prototype HD TVs in the 70s.
Yeah.
It's not really about the technology. It's about getting
bandwidth.
All these people and companies and governments to support it.
Well, Japan had an analog HDTV standard. In fact, there were like
ICHD
laser discs.
Yeah.
Which basically did analog, like 1080, equivalent of 1080i.
I played, back when you were in junior school, I played High 10 Bomberman on an HDTV.
Was it Saturn?
Hudson Soft in Sapporo.
Was it the Saturn version?
It was not even the Saturn version.
Oh, okay.
Because this was pre-Saturn.
Nice. So,
yeah, it was SNES.
What did you play it on?
It was a PC, but played a SNES period.
Was it like 8-player, 10-player?
It was 10-player, High 10 High 10 Bomberman. Like High 5. Terrifying. Bomberman's terrifying enough as it is, but like when you have 10 people playing at once, it's just it's not fun.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we were also showing, of course, in multiplayer, and probably by the time you listen to this or hear this, we're actually going to put out some gameplay of Hang 'em High out there on Waypoint. It's actually going to be showing off the Anniversary Slayer. We've shown it a little bit. People haven't released it, but we're going to put a whole match out there to kind of show off the Hang 'em High variant a little bit more,
so
and also show off that a little
bit. I have a question.
Bit.
What are we doing about armor abilities in classic mode?
Oh, so to the Anniversary Slayer mode?
Yeah.
So there are no armor abilities in Anniversary Slayer.
Right, but what about power-ups?
So there are power-ups on maps, and they're placed basically where they were originally. Yeah. I mean, there's Overshield and, of course, Invisibility.
Yeah.
So one thing players do need to know about Overshield that'll be a little different from the older games.
Right.
Since we are using the Reach multiplayer suite, there actually isn't support in Reach to do a proper overshield effect.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is what they did previously with Team Classic and Reach multiplayer, where when you have overshield, when you run, you leave a stream of fire on the ground. Mm-hmm. So your feet basically set the ground on fire. It's a really easy visual mnemonic to basically indicate this person has overshield.
Yep.
You should run away or hopefully have rockets because otherwise you're going to die.
Yeah.
So
or it might be me who has that, in which case you could probably easily,
just run circles,
easily defeat me.
Assassinate. Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
So, so David, how many playlists are we looking at for anniversary on the 15th, I guess, is going to go live?
So it depends on what region you're in.
Yeah.
So I think the current plan is the 15th is going to be the, when most people will be able to see all that stuff. Some people may see it technically on the 14th. But of course, unless you have the new maps, you can't actually get into those playlists. Yeah. You won't even actually see that they're there. So I think we're looking at right now is 5 playlists. And I'm trying to, of course, off the top of my head, trying to remember all they are. There's an anniversary kind of classic playlist, which is a mixture of Slayer and some objective, and the objectives are classic objective like flag and assault. We kept it strictly like basically what you played before. There won't be anything like a 3-flag or speed flag or stockpile or anything like that. It's just straight up flag, assault, but mostly it's Slayer focused 4v4. There's also an anniversary big team battle, which is a combination of Reach, TU1, and anniversary game types on several of the maps. I think it's Hang 'em High, Ridgeline, and Headlong. And it depends on which variant you're playing on that, if you're playing Reach or you're playing the anniversary game type. Because, of course, Headlong also has Breakneck, which I was called a Breakpoint. Or is it Breakneck? I get confused at this point. Breakneck. And so there'll be some differences there, but they'll be called out in the UI, so you'll know exactly what you're playing. It's Slayer with Reach TU, it'll just say Slayer, basically. And if it's Anniversary, it'll be labeled Anniversary for all the different game types. There's also a Firefight to support the installation of 4, which I think we're up to 3 now. And there's a Free-for-All. And gosh, I'm trying to remember what the 5th one is, actually, off the top of my head. But I think there's going to be 5 playlists when we launch.
Standard Team Slayer, that's going to be there?
So basically the Anniversary Slayer will be the main Slayer variant in that. But the good thing news is all these maps will also show up in regular Reach matchmaking as well. And we've actually, with the November rollout playlist update, we've actually adjusted some of the weightings.
Yeah. So that more ZB Slayer.
More ZB Slayer, but also more importantly is a pretty consistent piece of feedback we've heard for a while is that people didn't feel like the DLC maps were showing up often enough in matchmaking.
Yeah.
And so we've actually made, in some cases, I don't want to use the word radical, but we've made some significant changes to the weighting in the matchmaking algorithm, which should, and in our testing it showed up, but of course when you're in the real world it's sometimes
I mean different. You're still ultimately at the mercy of what people have.
Yes.
Right.
So. But what we're doing is we're making it more likely if you have DLC to be matched with people with DLC before you actually get in the match. Mm-hmm. And so we're taking that into effect. We're also making some changes in certain playlists to also that will make some changes so that you're more likely to get matched with people of similar skill.
Right.
So even though they're not ranked, they're social playlists like a Team Slayer, for example. I don't know.
This is designed to eliminate some of the lopsidedness in quitting that happens as a result of the lopsidedness in matchmaking. There's only so much we can do to balance for that, but this should help a lot.
And we're taking a scalpel to this. We're only changing it in certain playlists. And honestly, I don't think we're actually going to say what playlists they are because then people will claim to see things that don't exist. By the fact that we mention it.
And then you can mock them when they're wrong.
Exactly.
That's why you did that, right?
But we are looking to do some things that will hopefully, and especially in light of anniversary, because in general we expect the population, a significant chunk of the population, current and future and new population, to have these maps. So we want them to show up often because, quite honestly, we're very proud of them. We think they play great.
Yeah, and some anniversary people, that will be the only maps that they have.
Yeah.
So that they'll be driving a lot of that.
Yeah, and we've talked about before, there's actually still some confusion out there. There's been some confusion over, when you basically get Halo Anniversary, you'll have all the new maps on that disc. You'll be able to play them, but you'll also be able to then download those maps if you already own Reach.
Yeah, you'll be prompted to install them to your hard
exactly.
drive.
Exactly. So everyone picks that up.
It pops up. Just take advantage of it then and there so you don't have to think about it anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, so at that point, if you want to switch between the multiplayer, all the multiplayer in Reach, mm-hmm. and versus the anniversary ones that'll work as well. So
one question I have, and you might have already covered this, but things like speed, player speed, and gravity, and all that stuff. For what adjustments are we making for the classic feel?
So everyone that we got a chance to play the anniversary Slayer game types at Halo Fest got a chance to see it for themselves. We're putting this match out there with Hang 'em High. People will be able to see it.
Yep.
I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but basically gravity has been increased a little bit.
Yeah.
So your jump height to replicate as close to Halo 1 as possible.
Yeah, but it feels low. Like I know that I was trying to make some rock jumps even in campaign on anniversary, and I keep forgetting I just can't jump that.
Yeah. And also your base player speed has been increased as well.
Yep.
And trying to think of all the other – there's a bunch of changes. Yeah. Maybe we'll list them all out there. But people will be able to download these game types and
we'll be keeping an eye on those for the long term. I mean that's definitely the classic feel. And if people think it's too fast or too slow, then these are things that we can address again in the future.
A good example of that is the Zero Bloom Slayer game type in the TU beta playlist. I mean, one of the complaints initially was that the pistol is just way overpowered from some people. Other people felt like the pistol was perfectly balanced.
Yep.
Because it's more of a mid to short range versus long range than the DMR, which zooms in 3x versus 2x on the pistol. Yeah. But we have been looking into that. And for this November rollout, we are not making any changes, but we are looking to possibly switch the secondary weapon in the Zero Bloom Slayer game type after that. So one thing that I should point out with the Anniversary Big Team Battle variant, there will be a slightly different base loadout than Anniversary Slayer by itself. So in Anniversary Slayer, it's assault rifle and pistol. For the Big Team Battle variant, because of the size of the maps, we actually are going to have a pistol and DMR.
Yeah. What about vehicles? Destructible or indestructible?
In multiplayer, vehicles are destructible. In single player, they're, of course, still very much indestructible in Halo Anniversary.
Did you say lunch stuff?
Launch. But it is lunch.
Kobayashi's hungry.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I just figured out what you were talking about, the hot dog eating guy.
The tapeworm.
Actually, no that's
so,
the – okay, right, hold on. Let's give begin. Context to this.
Let's begin. So Dan has a tapeworm. We've named it Kobayashi. So here's the deal.
We are
at Gamescom, and Dan and I and Josh Kerwin, that PR guy as known on Twitter, we've been demoing all day.
Yeah.
And it comes time to eat lunch.
Right.
We go eat lunch. It's a big lunch.
Yeah.
And then we come back.
It's quite good, actually.
We do like a couple demos, and Dan's like, oh, my God, I'm so hungry. No, you can't be hungry. No, I really am. He goes in. He gets
like
a couple
of
hot dogs.
To be fair, this was like 2 hours after lunch.
A couple of hot dogs?
Not 2 hours. It was like, an hour and a half, maybe. And it was very quick. Anyway,
hot dogs
so then
are
he
intrinsically
goes,
hilarious
he eats
as well,
a couple
like
hot dogs. He comes back. He finishes. He wants more hot dogs. He goes back to get more hot dogs, but they're gone. So we just named and this was like the entire time we were at Gamescom. So we just named Dam's tapeworm.
First of all, there's a theory that there's a tapeworm. There's no medical advance to corroborate.
You haven't been to a doctor.
Monday. We're going to solve this one.
Go to the doctor Monday.
You're a fairly skinny dude. If you're eating like 10 hot dogs and 5 lunches.
I just have a fast metabolism.
Okay. And it's called Kobayashi.
Although metabolism does mean tapeworm in French, so maybe I should look into that.
And now I have to figure out how to work that story into the actual podcast.
What was your shoe story?
Oh, well, as long as we're telling stories. So as you know, we worked with our partner Saber in Russia on Anniversary, and Frank actually came with us on one of the trips. It was a lot of fun. Now, this was our first trip there, and I downloaded this app for my smartphone while we were in that, like before we left on like customs and things like that. And so we're in the cab, and I boot it up, and I'm going through the customs in Russia. And I come across an interesting fun fact. Not that I expect this thing's ever going to be interesting, a little bit of foreshadowing there. But similar to an Arabic country, it's considered insulting, at least according to this app, to show your shoe or the bottom of your shoe to someone in Russia. So I just shared that, hey, guys, here's a cool fun fact in the cab. So, you know, we get to the hotel, we shower, we change, we take a quick nap, and we decide to go get some food. After we walk around for a bit, because we were all hungry, not just me. And so we walk around, we get to this restaurant, and everyone, for some reason, except for Dennis and I, proceed to go to the bathroom. Dennis.
We don't need to, because you have a tapeworm.
Exactly. It takes care of that.
There's a little context.
Takes care of some of it.
Oh, no. Hold on. So we get there, and as the server comes to take our order, Dennis proceeds to take his shoe off, because he had a rock in it, and is banging it, face her, on the table as she comes up to take. So the beauty is she looked at us like Dennis had got up and smacked her across the face, right? And all I can think of to say is, I'm really sorry he's American. That's like all I can think to get
at. Throwing your North American brother under the
bus. But the best part is Dennis's defense. He's like, you know, that wouldn't be a big deal in the U.S.
Here's the thing.
How would that not be a big deal?
It would have.
I don't think the customs are that different between Canada and the U.S.
Hurting my
and
foot.
You were really displeased with the food they brought out thus far. Let's be honest.
He was ordering water at this point. Let's be clear.
I mean, my food was, I think, what they did to your food.
For example, you could just lean over and bang it on the floor.
I tried. That part is being left out. I tried. I could not get the freaking rock out of my shoe. And so I needed – and they had this long like – it was like one of those tablecloths that go down to your legs and so it's annoying you. I couldn't see into the shoe under the table as I was trying.
So I brought it up next to me.
And I couldn't get it even next to me. And so I brought it up to the table just briefly. Just at the wrong time.
You might as well have taken your pants off and wiped your bum off.
You didn't let me finish the story.
Yeah, that was the end.
But the great part, though, is that every time Sabre goes to that restaurant, they will send us pictures of them with their shoe on the table. Yep. It's kind of their thing now.
Well, I don't know how to transition to that into what we were going to talk about the rest of it, but I'm just going to. I got nothing.
We'll go with that.
You mentioned our partners, Sabre. We're getting ready to launch Halo Anniversary on November 15th. We wanted to talk a little bit about what are our plans for launch events for Anniversary. And what we're going to be doing is we're actually going to be partnering with the Microsoft retail stores across the country. We're actually going to be throwing a LAN party the night of November 14th.
Yeah.
And what's that weird look you have on your face, Frank?
Excited about that party.
Started grinning all of a sudden.
I'm excited about a LAN party in a place that already has a load of TVs and networking.
Yeah. And hopefully, in theory, we won't actually have to adjust anything.
Yeah.
And they should have lots of 360s there.
Yes, they will.
And so we're going to be doing that both the Microsoft stores here in the Seattle area. There's one in Bellevue and there's one in University Village area. Also, I think Dennis, me, Frank... we're going down to the store in LA, which is in Century City.
Yeah.
And so people want to show up. I guess we're doing like midnight things, selling the games at midnight.
Yeah, you'll be able to play. You'll be able to play the game from like 10 p.m. onwards, so that you're not just hanging around outside, waiting, and then pick it up and head home at midnight.
So if you happen to be in those areas, we're just going to be 343 people in all those stores. Also in Houston. In Texas, we're going to have
Some of the CA guys who are our partners for the multiplayer. So some of those guys are going to be down there. And
I think some of the Rooster Teeth.
I was going to say, are we still from Austin to Houston?
That's, yeah,
it took some dedication. Convincing. But luckily, those guys are really excited about it. Yeah. They love this kind of stuff.
And, also, some of the guys from Rooster Teeth are going to be in that store as well.
Yeah, so Houston's going to be fun.
Everyone's going to be signing stuff and hanging out and talking to the fans.
Yeah.
Telling you secrets.
I look forward to Frank signing some dude's chest.
Oh, totally. I'm giving a complete.
If you're coming to Century City, Frank loves signing body parts.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a special soft Sharpie for that.
I discovered it's actually really hard to sign shirts when they're on.
It really is.
Especially when they're damp.
And they're damp. Exactly right. Dude. It gets really difficult to sign a
shirt. I know you're excited, but like just.
I have to say, like, the only experience I've had signing shirts were some girls, actually, so I can't really relate to Frank's issue.
I've signed girl shirts, too. I just like to practice on the broader canvas presented by a damp man's t-shirt.
The best thing to do is get Frank him to turn around and sign the back.
Yeah. Always
signing the back.
But what? Why?
Once I did promise that I
would
I said I would sign boobs once on a forum posting or something, and then somebody showed up and asked me to sign his boobs.
That was New York last year for New York, wasn't it?
But it was funny.
Remember seeing there are pictures of that on the internet. You can find it.
And he never washed again.
Awesome.
Because he died of shame.
So this will be actually – the game comes on November 15th, but if you live near a Microsoft retail store, double check to make sure that they are participating. I believe all of them are participating.
And yeah, and we don't want to leave out – I know we touched on it really quickly, but obviously the ones in Seattle, we're going to have a really strong presence there as well. So especially U-Village, I think, is going to be our biggest one.
It's a big one, but also some folks that live on the east side here are going to be at the one at Bellevue as well.
I didn't know that was an option. I live on the east side. I have to go to U-Village.
Well, the U-Village is going to be the kind of the main, the hubby one. They're like with celebrities and whatnot.
You're sort of one of them. So.
Oh, yeah. David.
Yeah. You invented Halo.
Yeah,
as a person who has invented Halo many times before, I now pass that mantle to you.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Driving the future Halo, two of you are right here.
That's true. Was that the Game Informer story?
Game Informer? Was that who?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Like, you guys know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Oh, yeah, article? No, no, yeah, the Game Informer article. Oh,
everyone in this room is driving some aspect.
Like, there are 200 people. There are 200 yeah. people in Kirkland driving the future of Halo,
yeah.
and millions of fans.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Aw, that's a nice way to wrap
sweet.
It up.
That's Aww. Sweet.
Yeah. God, I'm gonna have fun editing
from
this
Dan
one.
Dan and Kobayashi.
Yeah.
Twice the love.
We should go on another 10 minutes because we definitely ate 10 minutes out of your thing.
That's
what
true.
What other topics have we got?
We could talk about I almost had to share a room with David Ellis.
Let's talk about
Yad Armstrong and how he steals our room on
Yad Armstrong, that's right.
So we showed up in Madrid at like 1 or 2 AM. That was our schedule. We would leave like really late and land really late.
Yeah.
And we showed up at our hotel and two of the three rooms weren't there.
Well, and the third room, for me, they didn't even have a record of me actually
existing.
Reserving one.
Yeah.
So all three of us are sitting
That's
in the middle of, was it Madrid, right?
Yeah.
In Madrid with no place to go. And
That's
so,
not quite true.
Well,
because
two of you, they
you
said,
quickly,
oh, no, no, there's another five-star
Oh, this
hotel.
Is getting interesting. Did Dennis Bogart the room?
No,
so
no,
basically
no.
what
so,
happens is that when you book a hotel, and you, even if you book, and we had booked a late reservation, we were going to showing up late, what happens is if it's busy, that hotel will sell your room regardless if you have
sure.
a reservation or not. And then they'll make a deal with some other hotel nearby, charge you extra, and then those two hotels will split the difference. It happens.
Wow.
And that's exactly what happened to us this situation. Although, of course, they gave us a story about how two pipes had bursted and somehow the two rooms we were supposed to have were the only ones that the pipe busted.
Even though they're on separate floors
exactly.
in the east and west side of the building.
So the guy says, no, we actually do have a reservation for Yad Armstrong.
Well, that's because we pulled out the confirmation number for me just to say it's like, no, you should have a room for this guy. He pulls it out and it's not under Dennis Rees.
No.
It's under Yad Armstrong.
Which, of course, is Chad Armstrong.
Yeah, we're like,
which,
what?
Of course, is Shishka.
Which tells me now that he hit a skull in Madrid.
Uh-huh. Exactly right.
But, of course, Dennis immediately goes, that's me. I need
that's
that
me.
Room. That's,
that's
me. That's me.
I need that room.
Oh, I'm hearing
and
this one for the first
strong
time.
Work. Yeah.
So Dennis proceeds to check into his room.
So he actually got the room.
I got it.
Did you sleep in the alley, Ellis? Like,
no.
No, they had to walk a couple blocks. Don't worry about it. They're fine.
You have no idea.
It to
he has no idea how many blocks it was. Because not only did he take the room, they gave him a bunch of free drink tickets at
they
the bar.
They gave me two free drink
for
tickets.
His inconvenience.
They gave me two free drink tickets
that was
for
good
my
of them.
Inconvenience.
No, that was good. That's
and
good
free breakfast. And free breakfast.
Sounds like
which we bogarted on the free breakfast.
Yeah.
I should
tell him
so.
It was for all three of us. But we actually ended up coming back, and I don't know why we did this. Why did we meet you at your hotel?
I don't know, but
you
I loved
have had
it.
To come
I
to
thought
our
it was perfect.
Hotel.
You know what? I am Yad Armstrong, and as far as I'm concerned, you needed to come visit me.
So, yeah, that was a slice of our European.
If it makes you feel better, I didn't actually use the drink tickets.
So. No, it doesn't make me feel better at all.
How's that supposed to make him feel better?
Yeah, it's terrible.
You should have left
him
at the front
mind.
Desk, and I would
Just
have walked
it.
Back the five blocks and had them myself.
So, what's the ultimate setup for Halo Anniversary? Like, if you want to have the complete Halo Anniversary experience,
yeah,
what do you got?
What do you mean?
Well, I wasn't going to get a 3D TV because 3D is myth. It doesn't work. It's total bunk. And then I, of course, tried the passive 3D on the Halo Anniversary, and now I'm like, it totally
awesome.
Works.
3D's awesome.
I mean,
so my ultimate setup is going to be, I guess, an LG or whoever else makes passive 3D.
Yeah, I think Vizio does them
what's
as well.
What's the biggest LG LCD?
I think probably like
LED,
oh, LCD?
Preferably.
Yeah, probably LED, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, no, but I want LED.
Probably like 65 inches.
So I want a 65-inch LG 3D TV.
Yeah.
Audio, whatever,
7.1,
awesome, 5.1,
whatever, yeah.
And Kinect.
You want your Kinect?
Want my Kinect.
And you want a copy of Reach. Then you can have all of the multiplayer maps in one slot.
I've got a copy.
He's got.
There you go.
Yeah. I have many copies of Reach.
So Frank, if you need one, let me know. I know a guy. I can get you.
Dennis knows a guy.
Yeah.
So if you want every single thing under the sun, yeah, that's what it would take.
Mm.
But, you know, if you don't have that, you're not going to miss it.
I will miss it now that I know it exists, now that I know that somebody somewhere is having a better time than I am because it's in 3D or noisier or whatever.
Well, I don't have
be
a 3D
jealous.
TV. I'll be playing it in 2D.
Look, while you're playing, your daughter's going to be screaming, Bing Dora anyway.
I was
so it's not going to matter.
I was so anti-3D. I mean, like, like militant about it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a waste of money. I wish they weren't doing this, blah, blah, blah. Still don't like it for movies, but for games, it's like it actually helps.
Oh, going back to people yelling at things over Kinect, when Dennis was playing, we discovered this week that you can add expletives at the end of the instructions, and it still works perfect.
It still works great.
But it just makes you more of a badass.
Yeah.
So you're like,
we can bleep this.
You're throw like, a bleeping grenade.
Classic mode. Muddy funster.
Exactly right.
That is almost the exact thing I was yelling, and it totally works.
And actually, the most fun I had with Kinect, I have to admit, was when I was testing it, annoying the bejesus out of the Waypoint team. Because we had it set up right by Waypoint.
We're actually using their setup.
And for about 45 minutes, I was just like screaming out commands. And just, you know, you slowly see the headphones start to going on and the looks of like hate.
Yeah.
It makes all – these are the little things that make this job worthwhile.
So if you happen to be at someone's house while they're playing with a Kinect, you can have some fun with them. They won't necessarily enjoy it so much until they punch you in the face until you leave or stop talking. But
that'll learn you.
Yeah. Lesson learned. Problem solved. Man, this is going to be fun to edit together, this one.
Hey, when are we getting our green discs?
Yeah, that's a good question.
When are we getting our discs?
I'll give you one when we walk out.
We gave Halo Man a green disc. Or three of them, right?
Well, yeah,
but
when do the review discs start going out?
I got one for you.
See, I only ordered 25.
We'll go to my desk after this.
But Dan got three.
What about me?
Well,
I don't want no stinking green disc. I want a real disc. Those are coming
green discs.
November 15th.
Green disc is real. Relax.
All right. So I think we've run out of things to talk about. In fact, I think we ran out of it about 10 minutes in this episode. Some of it, we stretched it out as long as we did. So anyway, we're 2 weeks out from Halo Anniversary. It's coming on the 15th. If you live near a Microsoft store, we're going to be doing LAN parties. Of course, Houston, Los Angeles, the two stores in Seattle area. There'll be people from the development team at all those locations for Halo Anniversary. So come out. If you live nearby, come out. We'll be signing stuff, hanging out. You'll get a chance to play the game before it actually launches at midnight. I think it starts at 10 p.m. People will actually be able to play a LAN party, multiplayer against one another. Be some prizes, I think, handed out of all these places. Should be a lot of fun. So until then, we'll see you next time, or you'll hear me next time. I don't know. I've mixed metaphors again. So I guess we'll say, I almost said see you again later, but we're not.
You might see them if they come to LA.
That's true. Yeah. You should show up, and we'll see
you. Frank, you'll see me.
Bring a Sharpie and the canvas of your flesh.
Extra fine point Sharpie. It's necessary. So we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.